How do human body parts aptly reflect the purpose and unity of the church, also called the body of Christ? In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 12 through 26, Paul addresses confusion within the church because people wrongly carried over their pagan practices and in their minds created a hierarchy of spiritual gifts. Today's believers must avoid this temptation as well. Let's listen as Pastor Seawright continues with part 5 of his series on body work with today's sermon entitled, Our Gifts Look Good on Us. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Praise the Lord, saints. If you will, bow your heads with me in a quick word of prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now. And Lord, as always, Father, I ask that you just prepare the hearts and the minds of your people for your word, Lord, from on high. Lord, help them to understand how important it is for us to be unified, to function properly, Lord, and Lord, to stay in our own lanes that you've designed for us. Help us to accept this, Lord, with gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Man, if you have your Bibles or your tablets, I ask that you turn to 1 Corinthians. It's quite a chunk of scripture today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26, we're going to try to cover. And while you're getting that, I'll just say my usual, and that is still want to promote Sunday school and Tuesday night service, saying that these are integral parts of our dedication and our purpose here at 296. I ask that you all please come out and support that so that you can dig deeper, go deeper in the Word of God. In addition to that, I don't know if it was stated, but pray for the Seawright family. I lost my aunt and my aunt this week, and it was quite a blow. That was the only aunt I know. I in the family history, I was told that there was an aunt that lived prior to my birth. But this aunt Jenny, she was special. She was special to me. So continue to pray for our family. In addition to that, I'll be going on a couple of trips, so you all pray for me. One is coming up this week where I'm going to go to a conference to hopefully hone my gifts in delivering this word to you all better. And then the next trip will be the week in before Thanksgiving. I don't know the date of that, but they've asked me to come back to Kentucky for a annual church event to speak there. There are some in the congregation that are going to support I just didn't want to put that burden on the church to come down there. But you guys pray for me in that endeavor as well. If y'all want to come, y'all can come, but you know, it's up to y'all. Amen. Getting at the task at hand here. Our gifts look good on us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. Just as a reminder and a way of introduction, Paul took his time developing this point here. In fact, he took 3 chapters to develop this point, from chapters 12 to chapter 14. I'm sorry, yeah, chapters 12 to chapter 14 to develop this point of spiritual gifts. Remember I told you all in a few sermons ago that in chapter 11, because they were disobedient, Paul rebuked them in regards to that Last Supper. They were going and they were keeping their treats to themselves, and it wasn't a fellowship of love and a meal of love, but it was like, No potluck going on, but hey, I got mine over here, you got yours over there. And there's just no love feast going on. So Paul kind of rebuked them there. But in these chapters, because they were confused, Paul said, okay, I need to teach you. I need to instruct you as to what's proper in regards to these spiritual gifts. Paul had to educate them from their thinking errors. They had a lot of thinking errors going on. For example, these folks that comprised of the Corinthian church, they had backgrounds that were entrenched in pagan practices. For example, for them, it was no new thing to see someone in a trance, you know, with their eyes rolling in the back of their head. It was no new thing to them to see someone trying to predict the future over smoke and crystal balls and bones and everything else, trying to predict the future. So it was no new thing to them. This was something that was common to them. In addition to that, it was no new thing to them to see someone ignoring pain, like we see these folks today, like going over coals and stuff very carefully, or going over broken glass, walking over that. See, it was no big thing to them. It was no new thing to them. They thought that this is how you do it. Another thing that was in their background as well is that they thought that different gods had different gifts. Different gods had different gifts. So they would go on a shopping spree, if you will, for gifts. Hey, this god over here got such and such. I'm going to go over here and pick me up some of that. Oh, this god over here, you know, okay, that has this. You know, you can go in a big trance if you go over here. So let me go over here and get this. So they were shopping, if you will, for gifts. Another thing that was common in their background is that abilities and gifts were tied to your station or your status in life. Okay? So if you had, like, if you were a trance person, then you were up here. But if you was just a person that walked on glass, then you were kind of down here. See, so they had, like, status tied to gifts as well. Well, with this type of background, it's not surprising that a lot of confusion was going on in the Corinthian church, because they were bringing some of this stuff that they once had. They were bringing this to the church. But Paul had to get them straight here. And Paul was saying, Christianity doesn't work that way. Christianity doesn't work that way. Our God wants us to be one. And our God does not want us to shop around for gifts. He wants us to be grateful for the gifts that he has given us. Amen. And in addition to that, our God doesn't want us to, like, try to have status on each other. He wants us also to appreciate the gifts that he gave others. Amen? So he wants us to be connected. He wants us to be connected. He wants us to be one. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 13, he says this, Paul writes this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." Paul illustrated his example with something that we all can pretty much relate to, and that is a body. Our bodies, right? Our bodies. We are a living, a thinking, a moving, a feeling being, right? He didn't say, oh, okay, I'll use for an illustration a corporation. I'll use for an illustration an organization. No, he said that we are an organism, right? We are thinking, we are moving, we're living, we're feeling. We're doing these things, you know. And other scriptures, he said that he used the illustration of us being a family. We are in Christ, and therefore we are in God's family. And he demonstrated this by saying that we are God's children. So we are his sons and daughters. We are brothers and sisters. That's how we greet each other. Hey, sister so-and-so. Hey, brother so-and-so. Right? Because we are brothers and sisters, and he is our father, and we've been adopted into the family, and we are co-heirs with Christ. But be it family or be it body, the whole point is connection. Connection. And of course, with connection, it means cooperation. It means coordination. Coordination, that's a big word for a church. Coordination. You ever seen a body that is not coordinated? You ever see somebody on the dance floor and then they don't have any coordination? You ever see that? It doesn't look good, right? Right? I seen a guy who tried to do the worm on the floor and bust his lip. He didn't have any coordination. No coordination, right? So that's a big word for us. With our connection, it's cooperation and coordination, right? But in order to have that connection, it also means that we have to have something in common. Something in common. What is this something in common? This thing that is in common among us can be seen in John 14, 6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus Christ is a link. However, we go even one deeper, because in Matthew, the 3rd chapter and the 11th verse, John the Baptist said this, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Our point of connection is the Holy Spirit. Scripture teaches that Christ does the baptizing. This is an important point. Scripture teaches that Christ does the baptizing, and he uses not water, but the Holy Spirit. Now, some teach, this is why this point is important, some teach that baptism is by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. You are baptized by the Holy Spirit. That's a key difference. That's a key difference. Now, I can't support, scripturally, I cannot support being baptized by the Holy Spirit. But I can support scripturally that Christ does the baptizing and he uses the agent, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. Grammatically, in verse 13, it states that Jesus does the baptizing and he uses the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you also to note this. Everybody will be baptized. Everybody will be baptized. Everybody will be baptized. No one will be left out of baptism. The saved will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. But the unsaved will be baptized by fire. That's why he said he will baptize by the Holy Spirit and fire. And fire. Right? So, those songs that go back to Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized. I want to stop at that fire baptized for me. Okay, so we are in one body by one Spirit. Okay, although we have many parts, our goal is uniformity. Our goal is not uniformity. Our goal is not uniformity. Our goal is diversity in our unity. You hear that? Diversity in our unity is not uniformity. See, we got to be careful not to allow unity to become uniformity. All right? And we also have to be careful to not allow our diversity to become mayhem. Okay? Everybody doing his or her own thing is chaos. That's mayhem. Okay? However, guess what? The body does its best job at uniformity when it's dead. You hear me? We're not shooting for uniform. See, the body has its best impression, if you will, of uniformity when it's dead, because everything shuts down, right? So we want uniformity, but not to the extent of everybody's marching like I see in North Korea right now when they're displaying their military power. And then all of a sudden you see those armies marching and everybody is in sync at the same time. At the same time, and they're just marching down there. And just think if we were just in sync at the same time like that, just marching down there. And if somebody needed help, we got to keep in uniformity. And if somebody else needed help in rescuing, Nope, we got to keep on marching in uniformity. See, uniformity is good to a certain extent. All right? So we are shooting for diversity in our unity. That's what that connection is all about. That's what that connection is all about. We are to be one. We want to have some diversity in our unity. We said that God is a God of variety, right? Variety. He made you, he made me. You don't look like me, I don't look like you, right? And in fact, we are so different in parts that, hey, you might like a shirt, and you say, man, that color look good on me, and I never wear that color. See, it's just that we got our own expressions and everything else, but that doesn't mean that we can't move in the right direction towards a godly goal. Amen? So we are to be connected. But in order for us to be connected, there's something that we need to do. We need to cherish what God gave us. We need to cherish what God gave us. So the next bulk of that scripture in chapter 12, verses 14 to 20, reads like this. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? How could you hear if you were just a big eye? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? How would you smell if you was just an ear? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose, or as he chose, right? If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Saints, we must guard from this messed up perception that leads us into thinking that God gave us the short end of the stick. That God gave us the short end of the stick. See, he's God, but I don't think he got this one right. See, I truly feel within me and all that's in me, I truly feel deep down within me, I am a singer. But he gave me administration. He messed up on this one. I know I should be a singer. See, that type of logic leads to what our society is in trouble with today. See, I know deep down inside of me, I know I am a girl. I know. Not me. This is an example. I know. See. And that's what that's what it leads to. We gotta get out of that messed up perception. In verse 18, it says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose, right? God in his sovereignty designed us, made us, equipped us. No offense, saints, no offense, but there's no such thing as an abnormal Christian. God does not make abnormal Christians. God does not make Christians with defects. Okay? He's sovereign. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows that the church needs this one. He knows that the church needs this one. He knows that the church needs the gifts of administration here. Through her. He knows that the church needs the gift of giving through him. He knows that. And just to make it plain, there's no church that has every gift. Every gift. But God in his sovereignty gives each church exactly what it needs to get the job done. So stay away from that, I'm not important. Because that's what these verses were saying. Since I'm not this, then hey, I'll go. Or since I'm not this, then hey. See, we can't discredit God's gifts to us. We have to embrace and cherish what he has given us. See, that's important to our connection. See, this word envy is defined as the intense feelings or eager desire of ill will or malice. It goes on to say that it's the desire to deprive another of what he or she has. It goes on and it says, envy is the displeasure of someone else's good or what has happened to them that is good. That's what envy is. See, if you're not accepting what God has given you, then they used a term for envy back in the old times in Greek and everything. They said the evil eye. The evil eye. So when you're not satisfied with what you have, guess what you're giving somebody else? The evil eye. Right? You got your eye on them because you're not satisfied with what you have. And since they are acting like they're satisfied with what they have, you can't make that connection to feel good for them. If every part were the same, the body would be a monster. Think about it. The body would be a monster. If the body was just one part, just an eye. Just think of that. Could you have a conversation? Could you take a walk with an eye? Just an eye. Huh? Could you like, man, this is good. Smell this. With an eye. No, it's just not right, right? It's just not right. You need various parts to have a body, to have a body. Sulking about what God gave you, it points the finger at God. It points the finger at him. When you're sulking about what God gave you and you're seeing somebody else over there, when you're sulking about what he gave you, it kind of points the finger at him like, you've done something wrong, God. You messed this one up. So we have to be careful. Cherishing what God gave us is important to our connection. But here's another thing that's important to our connection. Celebrating others. Celebrating what God gave others is important too. And that's what Paul points out in verses 21 to 26. And it reads this way. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker or indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable. Did I miss this line? I did. Okay. On the contrary, let me read that over. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. On those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Saints, if we just said that sulking over what God gave you points the finger, then boasting about what God gave you angers him. Boasting about what God gave you angers him. So who are we to say that we don't need somebody? We don't need you here at 296. Go. Who are we to say that we can do without her? Go. See, body and this family and this body concept promotes cooperation and coordination. However, individualism promotes competition. Individualism promotes competition. So if someone is in our church overvaluing themselves, we'll just put it nice. If they're overvaluing themselves, then what the body doesn't need is that attitude. Amen? God's gifts only find value in their proper use with the proper attitude. So in cherishing our gifts, we got to be sure as well to celebrate the gifts of others. Saints, I told you all that some folks covet gifts that aren't theirs. And they may go and they may try to develop this gift that they don't have on their own. And they'll keep on trying to develop it and try to develop it. But I also told you that you will always see the difference between those who received it from God and those who are trying to develop it on their own. When you take a step back, you'll see that, man, you know, that brother got administration all on him. This one here is trying. He's trying, but this brother, I can see that gift on him. And I know it's safe to pick on Deacon. That's a safe pick for me. But Deacon Chrisman, he's dear to my heart. And the reason why he's dear to my heart is because I rarely find encouragers. I rarely find encouragers like this brother. I mean, it's in him. It's just who God made him to be. And some people are at this church because of that gift. Because of that gift. Some people have stayed at this church because of that gift of encouragement. Now, I dare you to do what I tried to do with him. I tried to out-encourage him. And now I realize it was almost like a verbal battle of, oh, you go low, I go lower. Oh, you go low, I go lower. To the point where I said, I can't do this. I can't out-encourage this brother because it's from God. Amen? But God teaches me through him how to encourage others. So I celebrate his gift. And I thank God for his gift because God teaches me just how to do it through this brother. That's just one example of what we have at this church. But we got to celebrate. We got to embrace each other's gifts as well. We have to thank God for the fact that God has made someone else different from us. I thank God that you all are not like me. I do. I thank God that I just don't have a church full of Jerrys. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that. And I hope that you all can say, I thank God that I don't have a bunch of people in church just like me. Amen? So, to show us how limited our thinking is, Paul says, we emphasize things that we think are important, while the things that are really important, we hardly give thought to. You ever see somebody on a diet? Of course y'all have. Y'all seen somebody on a diet. Or you ever seen somebody that said, you know, New Year's resolution, I'm going to go to that gym and I'm doing this. Well, when they are like, you know, in that no judgment zone looking at their body, after they done pumped some weights, they just, and then they go back and they, and they hit some more. See, what they're looking at, they're trying to make sure, they're trying to make sure that their spleen is looking okay. Their kidney is tight. Right? Right? Got to make sure my bowels are cool. That's what they're looking at, right? No. See, those things you need, right? But you're not really thinking about it. What you thinking about? These guns. Ooh. Oh, these guns. Right? You even see people kissing their guns, right? Mwah! These guns, right? But people can live without a gun. Right? Right? But can they live without some of those vital organs? No, right? So the things that we think are important, we give all kind of attention to. Oh, man. And we hook those up, right? But the things that we actually need, the things that we consider weak, right? The things that we consider, like, disposable are actually indisposable, right? Things that we really, really need to make it. So God has given us this sense of keeping the main things, right? So when you go to that doctor says, hey, your ticker, then what do? Ooh, I got to keep the main thing. I ain't worried about these guns. Now I got to eat for a whole different reason, right? And Paul goes on to say, like, the weaker parts of the body, those parts that don't get all that glamour and attention, like the prayer warriors. See, they're not the ones that get all that attention. But yet God has a way of designing the body where it respects those as well. We, in other words, we don't cancel out folks that we think are weak to give more advantage to those we think are strong. Amen? In other words, to break it down even further, we don't try to make any distinction between those who are given $2 to those who are given thousands of dollars. See, at the cross, at the ground, the ground is what? At the cross, the ground is level, right? It's level, right? And we are all in this thing together. So there is no, like, trying to pick favorites, right? Trying to pick favorites or anything. They say jealousy. Jealousy is defined as an intense emotion aroused by the infringement of one's right or one's presumed right to exclusive possession or loyalty. What does that say in plain words? Jealousy is a deep, intense emotion because you think that someone has infringed or has trampled on an area that you should have, that you should have only. Now, jealousy, where envy is always evil, jealousy can be good or evil. Jealousy can be good in the sense of, because it's tied with the word zealous. So if someone is zealous for the Lord, right? I want more of you, God. And you're craving more of him. You know, I'm passionate about your word, and I'm also passionate about your will. And I want your word and your will and your kingdom to go forward. I'm jealous. I'm zealous about that, right? But then, you know, it's also where it's even personal. Like, hey, that's my wife. That's right, ain't it? Hey, that's my husband, right? Get your own, right? See, jealous in that sense, that's right. But then there's a jealousy. There's a type of jealousy that says, you know, they have that gift, but I want that gift exclusively for me. And I'm kind of jealous that they have it, so I want it for me. It's as if, like it's supposed to be exclusively mine. Exclusively mine. I want that gift to be mine and not theirs. And not theirs. How can we be satisfied? How can we be as Paul, when Paul says in the fourth chapter of Philippians, verses 12 through 13, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. How can we get to that state? How can we get to that state? You know, it's you know, when I was preparing this, I remember being told when I listened to, like, you know, my uncles or gentlemen that were older than me, I was hearing them about the old days in Pontiac, right? And they say, I believe the story goes back in the days, like in the 70s or something like that, they had contests. They had contests, and these contests were like someone like a beauty pageant, something on that line. And they said that my uncle's girlfriend at the time, she won the show because she had the best legs, right? So she won it. She won the show because she had the best legs at the time in Pontiac. That's what they say, right? Best legs in Pontiac. Now imagine, if you will, since we're talking about the body, that all of a sudden the announcer says, best legs go to so-and-so. And the legs are rejoicing. But then the rest of the body says, I'm not going. I'm not going. So the legs want to go, but the rest of the body don't. I'm not going. Is that possible? Is that possible for a body to be that divided where the legs are like, and the rest of the body's like, no. Because we should have gotten best arms. We should have gotten best hair or best neck. You see what I'm saying? Sounds crazy, don't it? Can a body be divided like that? If we are a body, right? So if Paul was saying, if someone in the body, something good happens to that person, it should be a good that happens to all of us. All of us. We should be able to rejoice together. Right? Together. But we also should hurt together. But tell me this. Why is it easier to hurt together than it is to rejoice together? Why is it where you can hurt together? Oh man, a funeral happens. Oh, pfft. Sympathy cards up, you know, up to the ceiling, and. But then all of a sudden, somebody, you know, got blessed, and they pull up in their shiny car, and they come out in new duds, and you looking. Huh? the Lord blessed me with this new job, and I was, oh, man, I was down and out and everything, but I'm like, now look what I can get and everything. And everybody like, Just like, They got them best legs. Right? They got the best legs of Pontiac. And the rest of the body can't go with the legs. You understand what I'm saying? We got to be together with this thing. We got to be together with this thing. So we rejoice over what God has given someone else. Right? Because the truth is, if we're a body, if the good thing happened to them, we benefit too. Right? We benefit as well. That's just not your benefit. That's the body's benefit. Amen? That's the body's benefit. See, so go ahead and get your good job. I'm sorry, go ahead and get our good job. Right? We're going to benefit. We all are happy about this. Because our body has benefited. Our body has benefited. Saints, can we be in love with what God gave us? Can we be in love with what God has given others so that it cannot mess with our connection? Can we do that, saints? And that's the whole point of this message. Can we be supportive, loving towards others' gifts, and satisfied and grateful for what God has given us so it will not mess with our connection? Can we do that? Can we do that? If we can, then this church will be blessed. If we can, you will see a difference in this church like no other. Because while Sister so-and-so is doing this, everybody's back here saying, go ahead, sister. Go ahead, sister. Flip those burgers. Flip those whatever. You know, whatever God gave them. And they can say, go ahead, brother. Preach, Jerry. Preach. Right? Preach, brother. Woo! The more you preach, the gooder you preach, the gooder I feel. Woo! Right? Right? That's how we ought to be. I see some awesome gifts in this church, saints. Awesome gifts in this church. And one of the gifts, and this is not putting a gift over the other, but one of the gifts that I just thank God for, and I'll just say, I'll use this platform to say this, is that Sunday school kids, those teachers. I'm telling you. For years, it's been consistent. My kids have gone through that. And it has planted the word in them. God has given them a gift and a heart and a love to do it. And my best response is, go ahead on, sisters. Do it. Do your thing. Do your thing. Do your thing to the glory of God. Because you, I mean, when these kids grow up and they look back, they're going to say, that's where it began. That's where my walk begins. That's where my love began with God. Amen? Can we embrace each other's gifts? Starting with the fact that we are grateful for what God has given us. So our connection can be better. Can we stand? And as I stated earlier, there's something that we have in common. And that common is the Holy Spirit. We have Christ, we've accepted Christ, and Christ has baptized us with his Holy Spirit into one body, into one family. Are we sure on today that that has occurred? If there's any doubt in your mind, I say dismiss that doubt right now by coming. By coming and surrendering your all to Christ. Is there one? Is there one? And as I stated, maybe this sermon has changed your perspectives on some things, and it righted some thinking errors. And you say, you know what, I need to make an adjustment. I need to dial in on a few things. I need to press that reset button. No better time than now. Don't delay. Is there one? And it may be those who have visited. They visited on occasion and they would like to be a part of this church. We say come. The more the merrier. Is there one?
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.